Hey, before we get started with this new Sentinel Watch episode, coming this December, there will be updates to your print and online journal and Sentinel experience with fresher curation and faster publishing. To find out more, check out the letter from the Board of Trustees of the Christian Science Publishing Society that appears in the October 20th issue of the Christian Science Sentinel. Ever heard that phrase, "it takes two to tango"? In times of conflict, that aphorism is often invoked as a way to point to shared responsibility, to look beyond blame, finger-pointing, and engage in finding solutions to conflict and ultimately work together toward resolution. But what if that other side doesn't want to engage? Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. Many of us have faced situations where we're involved in some conflict or feel like we're caught in the crossfire and it can seem there's no way out. But there is, and people around the world have discovered and demonstrated this for themselves through the application of the teachings of Christian Science. And today we're going to explore how in every situation, you can find the freedom and joy that is rightfully yours. Martine Blackler of Uvongo, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, is in the public practice of Christian Science. She's a practitioner who helps others through the power of prayer. Martine, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you, David. It's lovely to be here.
Martine, I just said you help others through the power of prayer. But I want to acknowledge that there may be some people listening who have their doubts about this. And I think it's reasonable to ask, how can God help when there are other people involved who may not even believe in God, much less believe that prayer can make a difference?
Well, God is for everyone. You know, when we drive down the road and we see the red lights and the green lights, we obey that light. We stop, we start, we do what the light tells us to do, but it's not the light that you are obeying. It is the law behind that light. And God is the same. Whether you accept him or whether you don't accept him, there is a law of God that rules everyone, and it is a law of what the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, calls the law of divine love, capital L. So you have the laws of gravity, the laws of your country, and you obey them without question. So why would you not obey what God has laid out for you, the principle behind every single thing that you do? That is the law of divine love.
Well, I guess someone, I'm thinking of this hypothetical person who might be listening, and perhaps they've been facing a challenge in their own life, and they look at the evidence all around them, and it doesn't seem like there's a way out of their situation. Obey the laws of God? What does that mean?
Well, I can only tell you how it has helped me. In many, many instances, there's been many situations, including some down here in South Africa, which can be pretty violent, where I've seen God protecting both sides. It's not just protecting one, but protecting both sides. And that's quite a lesson to learn when you're in a war situation or a riot situation, like I had here in my particular area. Can I tell you about that?
Please do. Yes, absolutely.
We had in 2021, there were in KwaZulu-Natal many riots, and it got very violent. There was a lot of deaths. There was a lot of killing. And it got to the stage where all the shopping centers and the malls had to shut down because they were being attacked, and there was looting and carrying on. And across the road from me, I have an informal settlement, what you call an informal settlement. And from that informal settlement, there were many violent people, displaced people, and I think agitators as well. And the one night, I woke up with a feeling that there was something not right across the road from us. And I started to pray, because that's what I do. I turn to God. And I just saw our Father, we all have the same Father. We are all on the same plane of thought. We all see divine love expressed. And there wasn't a case of one particular faction conflicting with another faction. There was only one mind, God, one intelligence, ruling and governing every single one of these people. Doesn't matter which side they were on. And I carried on working on along those lines, just saw peace and the gentleness of the Christ power just enfolding every single one of those people on that road. And there was a huge amount of noise, and there seemed to be quite a lot of shouting and screaming, and then everything calmed down. And the next morning, I found out that there were actually 2,000 of them that had come across the road, across the freeway, close to our place, and they were marching down. They were going to be violent. They were going to be killing and looting, and there was probably going to be a lot of death. And nothing happened. Apparently, the police didn't know quite what happened. Everybody turned around. They all went home, and there was peace. So both sides were protected, you know, the community police mm-hmm. and those that were the perpetrators that felt they had an axe to grind. And they just turned around and went back, and there was peace. And that was the last of the riots. We had no more.
Wow.
So that was quite a wake-up call to see. You don't just pray for your own protection, because protection is for everybody. It's universal. In fact, the word universal means to turn back to one. So when we turn back to one and we see our Father, one Father, it doesn't heal one person and leave the other one in the cold, or protect one person and the other one has a problem. Mm-hmm. It's universal. It is absolute. And it's gentle.
That's a remarkable story. You mentioned Christ. I know that Christian Science has a unique perspective on what that means, Christ. What does Christ mean to you?
Well, Christ to me is the enabling of God. It is the power of God manifested in our lives.
So it's active. It's action. It's not a person.
It is
active.
Yeah. It is the active, gentle presence of the Christ in our lives. And is the enabling. It enables us to act.
And so in a way, part of the importance of your prayer is to witness that Christ, to see that in action.
Yes, to see it and to express it as well, because we have that Christ power. We have that gentle healing presence in each of us. So we see it expressed when we express it ourselves.
I want to go back to something that you said. You said that prior to any violence breaking out, you got this feeling and you turned to God. You saw peace, you said.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing? I have in my thought that you were praying about the situation, but could you explain what kind of prayer you were engaged in at that moment as you were trying to be proactive in this situation?
Well, I always start from God. I never start from what is going on. I always start from God, and I always turn to Him. I say, Father, what are you knowing about this situation? What are you seeing? How are you seeing me right now? And how are you seeing these dear people who seem to be having quite a party across the road? How are you seeing them? And the answer always comes, I see them as I see myself, as pure and peaceful and gentle. And there is no way that any of my ideas can act outside of what I have laid out. And that's basically how I start.
So it was very purposeful that you took an approach that recognized those who might have been causing chaos or who you suspected, you took a very strong stand for them, in essence.
Yes, for both sides. And it's important, you know, when there's a war situation, you know, during the Second World War with the Nazis on one side and the Allies on the other, the Germans always thought there was Gott mit uns, God with us. Mm-hmm. And the Allies always thought, no, well, God's on our side. So which side is God then if both sides consider that God is on their side? You know, God is universal. He doesn't take sides. So it's important when we pray to resolve conflict of any description, and that includes conflict in families as well, that you pray for both sides. You don't just pray for one and protect yourself and think, okay, fine, well, I'm all right now, Jack. The other guy, he can just do what he likes. That doesn't work. You have to pray for both sides to see the universal nature of God, the universal nature of divine love, which blesses all.
I think some people may struggle with this. I know that when in the past here on Sentinel Watch, we've talked about disagreements and, you know, in recent years, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, political disagreements and how this seems to have driven a wedge between friends and family. That the idea of holding firm to the notion that the opponent, the other side, that those people are the image and likeness of God. And see, there we go. There's this impulse to say those people, right?
Those people, yes.
Those
people.
The other. The other.
and there is no other.
There is no other. And I think that's the radical point that you're making here. When you're talking about the universality of God, you can't, in a way that's consistent with this idea of the universality of God, say that there is some other, some troublemaker, someone who is in opposition to the good that you are claiming for yourself.
That's right. You know, Mrs. Eddy tells us, the founder and discoverer of Christian Science, she didn't invent Christian Science. She discovered it. It was this law that is behind the healing that we do today. And she tells us in one of her writings that God is universal, confined to no spot, defined by no dogma, appropriated by no sect. So we can't say, well, God's with me, so what about the guy on the other side of the road? Mm-hmm. What does he say? If God is with me, then what? Is there got to be two gods now, one on his side and one on my side? You know, it's not logical. So we learn in Christian Science to dissolve all those conflicts with what Mrs. Eddy calls the universal solvent of love. And that settles all disputes. There's just no argument whatsoever. My husband was in the army for many years, and at the beginning he was all gung-ho. He was going to go out and, he was going to do this, he was going to do that. And then I saw throughout the war that he changed, and he became more gentle in the way that he was approaching his duties in the army. And there were many occasions when he was protected from conflict, but the enemy that he was supposedly chasing were also protected, and there were no deaths. And this was quite a wake-up call for him as well, to see both sides, that God is not a particular God that will protect only one side of a conflict.
Martine, how did you know that it was your prayers that brought a peaceful resolution to that situation? I'm thinking of someone who might be listening to us right now and thinking, well, maybe it was the presence of the police. Maybe it was some other variable out there that it was happening on the street at night. How did you know that it was your prayers that brought about a peaceful resolution to what seemed to be an imminent outbreak of violence?
Well, you know, that's actually not my problem. because I just pray and I know that prayer goes out. It never returns void. It achieves whatever is needed. And, you know, when I feel at peace, I go back to bed. And that was exactly what happened at that time. But there were other situations. You know, it had got pretty heated in this area where people had been taken off the streets and killed for no reason whatsoever, simply because one man had a point of view that didn't agree with the point of view of another man. Mm-hmm. And this had been going on for quite a while. And this was the only situation in this area here when there was a huge crowd of about 2,000. It was the only situation that was resolved without a single shot being fired, without any bloodshed, and without the police having actually to be getting involved. So, you know, I can only say that it was prayer and that it was the gentleness of the Christ that they felt. You know that there are never two sides. There's only one. That's the side that God is on. And his Christ was what was talking. So there was no conflict. There was only one. And there was peace.
For some people, hearing your approach may sound so radically different.
I think it is radically different. And trust me, it's not something that comes just out of the blue. It does take practice, because I've been in many war situations myself, in various conflicts. And I have been, as you say, on the side where you'd actually defend yourself. You want your safety. You want to feel at peace. You want to feel not frightened. And you're not really particularly concerned about the guy on the other side who's trying to kill you or do whatever. That, you know, you just want to be safe.
Protected,
but I learned, you want to be protected. But I learned that you can't attribute that protection only to yourself, because that never actually solves anything. Yes, you might come out of it safe, but have you actually resolved the actual conflict? What was the cause of the conflict in the first place? You need to see that there is only one God, one mind. And you go back to, how is God looking at this? How is God seeing this situation? That it's only God and his thoughts. Well, if his thoughts are his thoughts, then there must be good. And there can be no evil. God does not see evil. So everything that God knows must be what he is. The image cannot stray from the original. So God and his thoughts must be good. They cannot be bad. They cannot be evil. Therefore, God's precious child, whichever child that is, he has to be the child of God. And he is incapable of doing anything that his father has not allowed him to do. And I've found in quite a few cases where, you know, there is conflict, and you pray to see that universal God, mm-hmm. that universal divine love, and people get a kind of a baffled expression on their face, and they look at you and they say, what were we arguing about? And they just turn away. And this is exactly what happened across the road here. They just turned away because there was no longer any need for conflict. So they turned away.
I'm struck by what you're saying about how you are wanting to see the situation as God would, that you're wanting to understand how God views his own thoughts? Is it when you are reaching out to understand what the truth of this situation is? And it sounds like you're approaching this situation from the standpoint of there's a truth about this situation that isn't being revealed to our human senses.
That's it.
You're wanting to see this situation as God would see it. I don't think you're necessarily saying that God is viewing, you know, in a world full of billions of people, that God is viewing this situation like from some perspective, looking down at this roadway and seeing the crowd coming. You are trying to resolve what seems to be, to material sense or to the eyes and ears, a situation of discord and harmony, violence potentially. You're trying to understand what is the spiritual truth here and now. Am I off base? That's
it? No, you're right spot on. We see the truth behind the lie. And the lie would be that there is a mortal human full of hatred that needs the violence to express itself. And the truth behind that is, what has God created? God created man in his image and likeness. So what is that image? Is it a man with a gun? Is it a man with hatred in his heart? Or is it a spiritual image, absolutely 100% true to the original? And that is the one that you want to talk to. That's the one you want to see. You're not going to talk to the man with a gun. You're going to talk to the real man, the one that doesn't need violence, the one that doesn't need a gun. The spiritual concept, the spiritual man, the real man, not the counterfeit, the one that's holding the gun, or the one that is prone to war, or the one that has been brainwashed and told that he must go and kill other people. He has no idea why, but he'll do that anyway because he's been paid to do it. That is the counterfeit. So you need to just sweep away that counterfeit and look deeper, listen more deeply. Where is God's man? Because that's the one I want to talk to. That's the one I want to see. And then there's healing.
Just to be clear, you're not sweeping away that person's humanity. You're not saying, oh, you're not real. You are making a stand for the true spiritual nature, God's idea, in essence.
That's it. You're separating, in other words, the lie from the truth. You're separating what seems to be, what is appearing to the material senses, which are liars anyway. You are separating that counterfeit and you are seeing the true man, the spiritual man, always good, always loved and loving and always lovable.
Mm-hmm. You know, Martine, what really makes what you're talking about concrete is when these healings happen, you have evidence of how this approach is effective. And I'm wondering if you could share another experience with us that can give us a sense of this idea of God's universality, which you were referring to a little bit earlier. That seems really a big key here.
When I was a young teacher just starting out, you know, when you come out of university and you're just all gung-ho, you're going to save the world, and you get given your first classroom and you think, yay, I'm going to change the world with these kids. This is wonderful. And off you go. And then you walk into the classroom and you look at what's in front of you, and everything that you have been taught goes out the window because you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, this is real life. And I was teaching in a school that was mainly Muslim and Hindu, some Confucianists, a couple of Christians. It was a real mixed bag. And when I walked into the classroom that first day, there were 31 desks or 32 desks in the class. And all the kids were squashed on the left-hand side of the classroom and on the right-hand side of the classroom. And there were three kids sitting in the middle desks. And I looked at this lot and I thought, I can't cope with this. I have no idea what's going on. So I looked at the kids and I said, what's happening here? Oh, no, no, those are Muslim kids. We don't speak to them. And then the Muslim kids said, no, those are Hindu kids. We don't speak to them either. We're quite happy here. So I thought, how on earth am I supposed to teach this lot when, you know, they seem to be so diversified and they've got all these different experiences, different gods, different whatever. And then I thought, Our Father. Our Father. And I started asking them a few questions. There were girls and boys. It was co-ed school. I asked the girls, you know, what sport they played and how they played and so on. And I said, and this little girl on the other side, you know, she's a Hindu. She's not a Muslim, but she also likes to play netball. Oh, okay, fine. Didn't seem to make much effort. Then at that stage, I had a big bunch of flowers on my desk, roses. And I said to the one little girl on the other side, come and smell these roses. She came up to the table. She smelt the roses, didn't know quite what I was after. And I asked the kid from the other side, I said, come and smell the roses. Do you smell that beautiful smell? Yes. I said, and this other child, does she smell the same smell? Yes. I said, so you see, you have more in common than you know. And little by little by little, it took me quite a while, but you know, talking to them in that way, by the end of the term, everybody was friends and they were all sitting in the same class, in the same desks, where they were supposed to be, and there was no more confusion as to who was in whose desk or who was in whose church. And it was the only classroom, mine, where there was no conflict. The only one. And there was a big school.
Did you feel that that was, that you were being divinely led there, or was this an interesting technique for teaching a diverse group of kids?
No, this was God talking. I would never have thought of that. I was far too, you know, as a young teacher, imbued with my own self-importance. I was going to save the world, remember? No. This was definitely God. This was not me. And he...
Did you turn to God in this situation?
Always. Always. You know, this is the only way you can actually run your life. I can't imagine running my life in any other way. But that school was a learning experience of note, because straight after that little experience, I was asked to counsel the kids. And it's the first time they'd ever had any counseling. And we had some really good conversations, not necessarily about, you know, Christian Science, but about God and how to handle problems with God. Even though it was not a God that they knew, it was the all-powerful divine love. And they responded. They responded to that, all of them.
Martina, as you talked about how they responded, I was thinking about something that may be common to some listeners of Sentinel Watch podcast. I know that a lot of students of Christian Science tune in regularly, and we're so grateful. I feel like there's a big community of Sentinel Watch listeners. And they may find themselves in a situation, something like this might sound familiar, where their kids went through Sunday school, perhaps, grew up, left the nest, and went their own way, and perhaps that didn't include Christian Science. And, you know, parents are keeping up with their kids. Maybe their kids are calling them and telling them about a situation that they're encountering, a situation that a parent might recognize needs healing. And yet, their kid is no longer studying Christian Science, may not believe in it, even. And as a parent, you want to do something. It seems to me that if we're talking about the universality of these laws of God, the law of God taken together, that there is something that we as parents can do that can help us and help us help them in a way. I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to get at? This idea that maybe someone isn't a Christian Scientist, and yet you, because of your own experience in Christian Science, your understanding of the universality of truth, of love, you feel that you can bring something to that situation and help them. And yet I'm not sure I know how best to approach something like that. How would you approach something like that?
Well, the first thing I would do is that there's only one parent with a capital P. They're not my children. They're his children. And he...
God's children.
They're God's children. And he looks after them. You know, Christian Science calls God Father, Mother. That's the one parent. So all the qualities of motherhood and all the qualities of fatherhood, those are the qualities of God that we see in our daily lives. And with our children, I've got two myself. They were brought up in the Sunday school, but they're not going to Christian Science churches. But every now and then, you get this glimpse that something that you've taught them or something they've learned in Sunday school is percolating through. And they come up with these absolute gems of, you know, metaphysical thinking. And I'm thinking, wow, where did that come from? That is the one parent that is talking to them. So we can't, when we are dealing with our children and their problems, we can't immediately think, oh, well, you know, they're not Christian Scientists, so they don't know what they're doing, but I do. Because then you're putting yourself as a medium between your children and God. And we never do that. There is no medium between God and his children. And those precious children, they listen to their father, mother, God. They listen to their divine parent. And all we do is get ourselves out of the way, our fears for them, our predictions for them, our plans for them, you know, whatever we think that they should be doing. And then we sit back and we wait and we see, what is God revealing? What is that picture that is forming that is going to be revealed, which is going to be a good picture? And there is always healing, always. You know, in the practice, you do find that there are people who come to you who are not Christian Scientists, but they have such a need. And, you know, we're told we need to heal the brokenhearted. And quite often that's healing the brokenhearted is basically all we do. But I had a case here where one of my husband's staff members came to work very upset. And I said to her, you know, what's wrong? Are you having a problem? Can I help at all? And she said, oh, no, my son, it's a grown-up son. He's got such bad asthma. Now, she's not a Christian Scientist, but he's got such bad asthma and we had to take him to the hospital and it doesn't look like he's going to make it. And straight away, I thought of something that comes out of Prose Works. Where this popped out of my head, I don't know, but it can only be God that talks. Where Mrs. Eddy talks about the deep drawn breath fresh from God. Now, she's talking about Christian Science. Christian Science is a deep drawn breath fresh from God. And I said to her, do you go to church? And she said, yeah, she does. So I said, well, when you go to church, just think about it like this, that it is God that breathes for your child, that he's not breathing on his own. It is God that breathes for your child, that he has that deep drawn breath fresh from God. And she looked at me and I could see this was registering. And she said, oh, thank you. That's really got rid of all my fears about my child. And she went home and this young man was released from hospital. He was home in a day and he was fine. Now that's not a Christian Scientist, but that is the universal power of divine love and what it can do, that you can talk to people on a level that isn't necessarily Christian Science, but it is the universal language of love. And that heals.
We should note that Prose Works, which you were mentioning, the book you were referencing, that was a collection of essays and writings by the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. Martine, why is this idea hitting you as so important right now? I know that this was something that you really felt powerfully about. You wanted to share this idea about the universality of God. Why has that hit you so hard of late?
Oh, because it seems that people are thinking that God seems to be in charge of all this chaos. And quite a lot of churches are under attack. And in fact, in the Congo, there's been some serious attacks on churches. And I just felt, you know, this needs to be out there, this idea that God is not attributed to only one sect or one person or one side of a conflict. God is for everyone. And we align ourselves with that universal divine love. It has nothing to do with human love. It is divine love. And that is what heals. That is the universality of divine love. And it isn't just something that you have to go and read your Bible for, or you have to go and read your science and health. You just have to feel that universal love. It is enough to feel that universal love. I mean, in the case of this young man with the asthma, he knew nothing about Christian Science, and yet he was healed. And this is the, you know, the wonderful power of this healing work that Mrs. Eddy has discovered and Mrs. Eddy has put out there for us to use, that we use the universal power of divine love as a system called Christian Science, which is how Jesus healed. And that is the healing power that can save the world. I like to think of it as when Moses in Exodus was wanting to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God said to him, I am that I am. Because Moses said, how are they going to believe me? And God said to him, tell them, I am that I am. And I always wondered about that. And then it came to me lately that I is the ego, the one God that is I. And am is man. So I and am can never be separated. No matter what denomination you are, the I and the am can never be apart, can never be separated.
Martine Blackler is a Christian Science practitioner from Uvongo, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. Martine, so good to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Sentinel Watch.
Thank you, David. It's been lovely.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.